All right, boys and girls, it's the Last Call podcast with Chris Michaels. The National Archives and Records Administration is now in hot water for doing what? Essentially collaborating with the Biden White House administration and also trying to sink Trump in an illegal, potentially, way. Now, what happened first is that you have this douche, special counsel Jack Smith, who looks like a Count Dooku actor from Star Wars. He looks like a miserable human being, and he also looks as though he has got a lot of mental problems. He is the one that's coordinating all this effort to go after Trump, particularly when Trump was secreting away all of these records from the White House when he was not supposed to. Oh, yes, and then there were claims about how Trump took the nuclear football and the gold codes, and on we went down this road. They released a document a long time ago. Essentially, this is what the DOJ and Jack Smith released. And of course, the whole thing is redacted. And when they redact these documents, what they do is they cover up all of the items that don't fit in with their narrative. So if you were to unredact these documents, you'd find out that a lot of the things that Trump is claiming is actually true. And a lot of the criminal activity that the Biden administration is claiming against Trump is actually false. And so that's what we're learning here. And these documents are just outrageous. Essentially, what you find out is that NARA, the records office, is already trying to bring up charges against Trump 5 months before anything Jack Smith does, the special counsel from, the potentially illegal special counsel from the Biden administration going after Trump. Now, why is this a problem? Well, the first issue here is that this implies that there is heavy coordination going on behind closed doors between the administration, the Department of Justice, and the records office. They're trying to create the worst possible way to go after Trump and make him look like the worst possible human on the planet. But what's even more damaging is that you have presidents that literally, their estates spend decades going back and forth with the archivists over at the National Archives and Record Administration. They are still negotiating with the Nixon estate for documents that he had when he was president. Notice, by the way, they don't ever go after Joseph Biden for illegally taking documents and having them strewn across his library at Penn State and his garage. They don't do that now, do they? But here's the issue. These processes literally take decades. Decades, years, months. The National Archivist was trying to get Trump about 8 months after he left office. About 8 months after he left office. And that was 5 months before Jack Smith brought these incredibly stupid charges. So do you see how they're trying to get Trump here? They're just bringing anything up in an effort to try and make him look the worst way possible. And on top of that, I can't help it. Chi-Chi is in the background. It's just ridiculous what she does. She doesn't say a word, not one word, as I'm sitting here. And then as soon as I turn the mic on, she goes bananas. So I'm pretty sure we can't do this in the same room. Chi-Chi. So, and by the way, for those that don't know, Chi-Chi is the official program observer parakeet. She likes to chime in about things that are just outrageous, and she does this often, but that may change. So, where was it? Now I'm all distracted. I don't even know where I was. So, we're going back and forth with the narrative here. Talk about being redundant. And this is the whole issue here. You have these people that are supposed to be coordinating with only the Department of Justice. However, we're getting direct orders, essentially, from the Biden administration. It's not supposed to happen. And the only reason why we're learning more and more about this is because the judge on the case, Judge Cannon, and this person is allowing this material to come out, much to the chagrin of Special Counsel Smith. Smith is not the one that is trying to administer justice here. Smith is trying to go after Trump. And that's the worst of it all. Because we all know at this point, that these charges are extremely dubious at best. Whether you're talking about Judge Merchan in New York City or anybody in Fulton County, Georgia, they all know what they're doing, and they are not that bright. They're only relying on the ability to censor and have their friends in the media and the Department of Justice cover up their tracks and cover up for them. That doesn't make justice. I see that. See, this is what I'm talking about. So she's really upset about this. Moving right along, The Spectator over in Kanakistan in Canada. Even Orwell's thought police didn't go as far as Trudeau. So we are now witnessing what they have really in mind for us, whether that's a draconian law or social credit scores or what have you. This is what's going on in Canada. If you say something, even if it's from 20 years ago on Facebook or, heaven forbid, MySpace, right? You are potentially in trouble if you even have that post still up. That's right. They're going to fine you and potentially jail you for past speech crimes. And that's what's crazy. They could put you under house arrest. They could take away all communications rights. And they even have the ability to go after you if they suspect you might say something that they don't like. Now, here's what's really disturbing about all this. Not only is, you know, you say something like in your teenage years, being hyperbolic and sarcastic is now being taken literally and you are being portrayed as a threat. That's the first thing. Second thing is all of these companies are now going to start using artificial intelligence. And as we've seen with ChatGPT and Google and all the rest, these artificial intelligences are extremely woke. So if you say anything against transgender people, gay people, lesbian people, anything against a liberal policy, then you are going to be in trouble. That's how this is all going to work. You cannot have these unfettered AI woke machines monitoring every aspect of society, and that's what they intend to do. Moving along. Anyone can accuse you of saying something icky, and it's on a committee of bureaucrats called the Digital Safety Commission to solely determine the truth. Mark my words, the Digital Safety Commission is going to be using AI. And as always, what starts in the EU, what starts in the UK, bleeds over into North America, in this case it's Canada, and then mark my words, they're going to try and do something stupid like that over here. The World Economic Forum types, you know, the real, honest-to-God fascists out there, they are able to institute certain policies across the planet in little compartmentalized situations. So you saw the differences in approach when it came to COVID and COVID mandates. You looked at Canada and Australia. Those places were basically draconian, dystopian worlds, quite separate from a place like Florida. But in the United States, essentially, you have a whole bunch of different countries to make up the United States because you've got the federal government and the state government and the governors. So they could really distribute how they wanted to see the reaction of the people by having a place like Florida institute one policy and then New York or California institute even more policies that are even more draconian. So what they're doing is they're testing the waters all across the world with these different lunatic style policies, finding out what is best, how to best put these things into place. And then once they determine the best route, then this will be the main strategy on a global scale. It's all tied to social credit scores and all the rest. And that's the real issue here that we're all facing. And if people don't wake up to that fact that AI is going to play a part in our society, and they are going to actually try and rule over this world and delegate authority to artificial intelligence, which is by default woke, we're in a heap big pile of trouble here. I mean, we've really got to take the bull by the horns here and start realizing that this is actually going on. But ironically, you're starting to see schisms within the Democrat Party on the best way forward. And this is what I don't get. This is what I don't get. Biden's administration is run by a lot a lot of probably dual citizens. If you look at the majority of his cabinet and their spouses, you're looking at people that come from a Jewish background, right? And if they're not, if the cabinet member themselves, they're not Jewish, the spouse is. And more than likely, they have a dual citizenship. And that dual citizenship is obviously with Israel. So why is the Biden administration going against Israel and what they're doing in Gaza so much? I mean, does it really have to do with the voter base, the Democrat voter base during an election season? That could have something to do with it. Especially since you have a lot of Muslims within the Democrat voter base now. And we see this more and more. You see all the protests going on everywhere we go, right? Bernie Sanders is trying to lead something here, and that is the fight against Israeli aid, because he feels as though that the Israeli military is going ham and creating war crimes. He's trying to add an amendment into an aid package that would cut, according to him, cut billions in offensive military funding to Israel from the proposed national security supplemental package. And the package approved by the Republicans includes $17 billion in unconditional military assistance, which is going to be used for, oddly enough, more bombings everywhere you go. So the main crux here is that you've got Bernie Sanders introducing something like this, right? And Bernie Sanders has a lot of sway with younger voters. Now, this could be made to look as though, oh, look, the Democrat Party, even though it's Bernie Sanders, and I think he's a registered independent, if I remember correctly. Look, they're trying to do something here. They're trying to stop the war over there. But are they really? Is this just something to say that, oh, we've done something here, we've introduced something, and this is good enough? We know it's going to fail, but we tried to do something. I think that's what you're really looking at here. He goes on to say, enough is enough. We cannot continue to fund this horrific war, and you get this kind of rhetoric. However, I think there's something else going on here. I think what Bernie Sanders and the Democrats are really trying to do is oust Netanyahu during the election season. Now, if they get rid of Netanyahu, somebody's got to step in his place. He's the leader of over there in Israel. If the person steps into place that we all know is going to be the main opponent to Netanyahu, then this person is even more megalomaniacal, couldn't get that one out, than Netanyahu himself. This stooge wanted to nuke Gaza, nuke Iran, and just create what is called Greater Israel. And in that kind of manifest destiny policy, Greater Israel goes out to Iraq, the Tigris and the Euphrates, down through the Sinai Peninsula, and up into Turkey. And that's quite a large expanse, don't you think? Are they really trying to do that? They're trying to quell Netanyahu during this election season and ultimately try to get in somebody else that's even more bloodthirsty than Netanyahu after the election is over with. And that way, Biden will be a lame duck president. 4 years won't matter. And they can unleash all kinds of chaos across the planet. That's what I think is going on here. But in 2024, we're starting to see more and more stories about, well, icky things along the lines of child predators and everything else. So there was this post over on X, and this is somebody that is claiming that they are a victim of child trafficking. This thing went viral everywhere. Person said, when I was a child, I was brought into a basement to be violated while I was being raped. A man was dragged downstairs and was told to rape a boy that was being held down. And I'm paraphrasing here. I'm not trying to be completely gross. And the man saw his family lined up against the wall. These people were being held at gunpoint. There was also a video camera there. Someone else came up to him and told him, if you don't do it, they will kill your family. And if nothing can undo that, but if you do it, it'll be fine because the boy is used to it. No one has to die. That's what we're looking at when it comes to these elites. That's how crazy this is. Now, I mean, I've spoken about this kind of thing in the past, but I don't get into it too often because it's a very, very dark topic here. He continues by saying, to date, that's the hardest I've ever seen a grown man cry. That man is sitting in Congress today. To date, that's the hardest I've ever seen a grown man cry. That man is part of the system of bribery and blackmailing of the upper echelons of society. And he went on and on to say that ultimately this man that was forced to perform this heinous act was actually Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders. Is this true? Are these claims actually true? Because it wouldn't surprise me. We hear stories about this all the time. The other day, there was an Obama administration senior policy advisor that got nabbed in the UK, 46-year-old, Rami Shai. Do you know what he was arrested for? Arranging the commission of child sex offense, possessing two Category C indecent images of children, and possessing a prohibited image of a child. In other words, he was trying to buy a sex escapade with a minor. In other words, this person is a pedophile. That was according to the Daily Mail. Now, why, once again, are we seeing more Democrats coming out as pedophiles? It's almost like there's some kind of sick club. Hello, Jeffrey Epstein's island. And does everybody remember Miss Silsby? Miss Silsby worked for the Clinton Foundation. She was nabbed over in Haiti after the earthquake with 33 children in the back of her pickup truck. And those 33 children were stolen from their parents. They weren't on their way to being rescued. Why is it that these Democrats fall for this stuff? And, you know, you say, well, you're always referencing Democrats and pedophilia. Republicans are probably involved, too. I would venture to guess that there are more closeted gay Republicans than pedophilic Republicans. Meanwhile, the Democrats are openly gay and secretly pedophilic. That's just my opinion, because we can go over to Dr. Fauci's NIH article published between 2021 and then updated in 2022, humanizing pedophilia as stigma reduction, a large-scale intervention study. Now, why would Dr. Fauci's NIH want to perform a study along these lines? The stigmatization of people with pedophilic sexual interests is a topic of growing academic and professional consideration, owing to its potential role in moderating pedophiles' emotional well-being and motivation and engagement in child abuse prevention schemes. They're trying to say that just because you're a pedophile, it doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It means that, oh, you can't help your urges. You can't help what you are attracted to. This is one of those things. Again, the Democrats are a hedonistic party, a party of narcissists. They are not able to control their urges. It's just genetic. It's always in me. I have no idea how it got here. And don't shame me for being attracted to what I'm attracted to, not to be redundant again. Why are they trying to do this? This is sick, sick, sick stuff. And these people are running for office. Now, this is how they define pedophilia: a persistent and recurrent sexual interest in pre-pubertal children. I didn't even know that was a word. And also, it's a disorder as a persistent sexual interest which manifests itself in thoughts, fantasies, urges, sexual arousal, or sexual behavior, accompanied by either acting on or experiencing distress because of this interest. And pedophilia is not synonymous with sexually offending against children, though it is often conflated with child sexual abuse. So right there, they're trying to soften the definition of what a pedophile is and how a pedophile acts. They're making the argument, if you read between the lines here, that just because somebody may be in love with a child doesn't mean that they want to hurt them. They're just trying to groom them. Oh, did I say a bad word? I didn't know. Why are they doing this? The reason for this, and it's a huge study, I'm not going to go into it. I mean, it is pages and pages long. The reason why they're doing this is because more than likely, we're going to start to see more and more stories about how some very famous and powerful people have these pedophilic urges. In other words, they're pedophiles. And they can't hide it. They can't cover up these stories anymore. So what they're trying to do is change the societal discourse. They're trying to say, look, I didn't mean to hurt the kid. I was just sexually aroused whenever the kid was around me. And I can't help what I like. I just happens to be children. So don't be mad at me. I need help. I'm a poor person. I'm just like, maybe I'm an alcoholic. I can't control myself anymore. Do you see how they're trying to do that? That line must not be crossed. I don't want to hear anybody, any Democrat, any Republican, any asshole from MSNBC justifying sexual interest in minors, sexual interest in children to say that, oh, well, this person is just a MAP, a minor attracted person, where they don't want to hurt kids. They're just, you know, they want to love them in adult ways. That's how sick these people are. And to think for a second that they're going to say that, oh, children are adults. Yes, they are. They can make adult decisions. Children believe in Santa Claus. Children can make adult decisions. That's why we see so many trans kids. And we all know we have to have trans kids' rights everywhere. No, no, no. There has to be an adult in the room. And that adult must have a moral compass. And I don't want to hear anything from anybody about justification for what this NIH paper is even talking about. It is reprehensible. It is degenerative to society and mankind as a whole. All right, that's it. Last Call Podcast with Chris Michaels. I'll be doing quite a few podcasts with Greg Bolden during the week now, because you can't get enough of us. It's not going to be focused on current events and all that stuff. It's going to be a little bit different, which thankfully, you know, as a broadcaster, being distracted constantly by Chi-Chi, thank you very much. It is tough to get through some of these stories like today. So we need a mental suppository. We need to talk about different things. So that's what we'll do. Don't forget to catch us, as always, on the America Out Loud Network and on all of your podcasting platforms.